I didn't quite have it written like this when I first started tonight, but I went back and I changed it. We're studying through the weapons for the Christian warrior in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 16 tonight. So turn to Ephesians 6. You ought to leave your marker in there. We're going to be there a little bit while longer. Ephesians 6, 16. We've looked at truth and righteousness, the gospel that we're to be shod with. And we understand now what shod means. So tonight, we're going to look at the shield of faith. Romans 6, 16.
No. Ephesians.
Excuse me, Ephesians. I'm sorry, I'm already reading my notes. Sorry. Second mistake I made today. Did you find your water leak?
I did.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wow.
It stopped for now.
Awesome. Did you shut the valve off?
Turn it off? No, I got it fixed for a minute.
All right. Ephesians 6:16. Bad boy. Your MacGyver knife?
Yeah.
That's right.
Above all, so I put right here, above all, taking the shield of faith. What is taking in the English language? Is that
It's a
verb, and so it's a action word. Mm-hmm. Taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench some of the fiery darts of the wicked one.
Mostly.
Mostly?
Mostly.
Attaboy. Is that the way yours reads?
All.
Like every single...
All.
None get through?
All
right. All. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm just going to read this to you because I didn't get it memorized well enough this week. So, and this is my commentary. This above all, it seems... This shield is to be used against every onslaught of this world. Similarly, the Roman shield could completely cover all of the soldier's other armor, and so does faith cover all the Christian warrior's armor. So we could have, I was going to, if I'd got here a little sooner, but I got hung up with the girls. Imagine that. We were talking.
Don't say it like that.
What are you saying, Gary?
I was saying that I wanted to come in here, and what I was going to do is I was going to take this armor, and I was going to place it all here, and I was going to put faith right there.
Above all.
Above all. And then I was going to draw a line down to each piece of this armor that the word is referring to tonight, but
so
I
wouldn't have any of the other things that are listed here, mentioned here,
wasn't for faith. None of those. That's above all, I think that's a very important three words in the scripture, because what is faith? Oh, I'm glad you ask.
Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11. Turn to Hebrews 11. We're going to spend a bit of time in Hebrews 11.
Gary, it says all the fiery darts. Does that depend on how well you're yielding the shield? If you got it down and not yielding it, so well, you might get some darts, a hit, some hits.
Well, I'm going to talk about the strengthening of the faith in just a little bit. So maybe I'll answer your question then. So in Hebrews 11, look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance, it's a tangible thing, it's an assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So by faith, and we see in this Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith. It just goes on and on and on. And so this great cloud of witnesses, the heroes of faith, were they all perfect? Mm-hmm. Any of them perfect? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the most would be Enoch. Enoch got raptured. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to die the first death. And he's not going to die the second death either. So, this shield of faith, if we tie it to the Roman soldier's shield, they could actually attach a shield to a shield to a shield to a shield to a shield. And what would that do? That would create a wall that was impervious to all the darts coming out. And they were such a big shield that they would cover everything from head to foot. So our faith, I want you to put your marker in Hebrews 11 and turn back to Ecclesiastes. I want to show you what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 has to say about Ecclesiastes. It's in there.
Chapter 4.
We're going to start in verse 9. I'm going to read through 12. So this is talking about the value of a friend, and I'm going to tie it to the value of shared faith. Ecclesiastes 4, starting in verse 9. If you find Proverbs, you're close. You there? Mm-hmm. All right. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. How can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We have what we call prayer chains. I say that because we're gathered together corporately, that we lift each other up. We have some who are, well, we're all being matured, but as we grow and work and move, those who are more mature, the word says, you speak to those who are less. And we all gain in this. So I use this analogy in Ecclesiastes of where two are concerned, or even three. A cord with three different twines in it is much, much stronger than a single. And so as our faith continues to grow, as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And so when you came to faith, it was through repentance. And so flip back to Hebrews. I told you to put your place in there. And I want us to look at where comes our faith. And that's in chapter 12. Hebrews 12. I'm going to read the first two verses of chapter 12, and I'll draw attention to verse 2. Therefore, and the therefore is to look back upon Hebrews 11, by faith, by faith, by faith. We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we still are, you understand that? Right here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run, with endurance. No quitters. The race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. The what? What is the next word? The what? The author. What does the author do? Yes. Yes. The author and
creator?
No. What does the word say? The author and
perfecter.
Mine says perfecter.
Yes. Mine, the New King James, says finisher, perfecter of our faith. Who was the author of our faith? Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, I'm going to add that. God bless you. For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Why? Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So, when it gets bad, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
Gary, I go back to what you were saying a few minutes ago, how we join our shields together.
Yes.
This verse 1, when you read this, I've circled all the plural pronouns in that verse. We, us, our faith.
It's inclusive, isn't it?
Is we're opposed to what Ryan likes to think, we're in this together. You know, and that's where maybe my shield is getting weak, but when I join it to yours, you strengthen my shield, I strengthen your shield. We're steady together against the enemy.
The analogy of the charcoals is a good one in relation to the spark of faith. What happens to, I know maybe y'all use propane, I don't, I'm old. What happens to a charcoal that you take away from all the other 35?
It goes out.
So what happens when you put it on back in there again?
It lights
right back up. And thus, the corporate gathering to edify the Father and be drawn to the Word, through the Word, by the Word, who is made flesh, who dwelt among us, whom the apostles testified they touched, they heard, they walked with. What are we doing one to another by this sharing, this coming alongside, this joining together of the shield of our faith? The author, we know who started it. We know who's going to finish it. It's up to us to what? Run with endurance. Now, some are sprinters. I never was one. I'm a walker now, but not a walker in your sense. My running days have come to an end, but nevertheless, that analogy of running with endurance, this race, what does this race refer to? This walk of faith. This day and time, the Lord brought every single one here to this day in history to do what? What are we here for?
To glorify God.
Enjoy Him forever, according
Hallelujah. To That's right. To glorify God. We are His pinnacle of creation. And thus, above all animals and snakes and horses and cows and pigs, we are the pinnacle of His creation. And then man sinned and separated himself from God. And there was only one way to restore man, that propitiation, that perfect sacrifice, had to be the Son. It had to be. Nobody here, there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That was imputed upon us because we are the race past. And so, this faith that we have, we didn't generate. He's been doing it all since the beginning. In the beginning, God.
But aren't you thankful He didn't leave us by ourselves?
Oh my.
I mean, we went back, Pam, I got to go do Pam's funeral, Pam Chamberlain. And just to see, you know, I was out of my element. I didn't know most of the people that were there, but just to see the encouragement that her shield of faith was able to join to, and her shield of faith wasn't perfect, and our shield of faith isn't perfect, but to see that unite and to watch her walk through her illness in the way that she did, trying to give God glory, trying to celebrate the victories that God had given her, it just encouraged my faith. You know, I wasn't in the same circumstance, but it encourages my faith. And I'm so glad that God didn't just say, all right, you're saved, now just go live up on a mountain, wait for my return. Because I'd be beat up.
I see Kathy in
I was just going to say that I see
coming to church.
Yes.
Kathy Fader.
And playing her music and then going home and having to go to bed.
Yeah.
Because she's used up.
Just wiped out, yeah.
That shows me a love and a faith that inspires me to be better, a better person.
And some people will complain.
Yeah.
Because we have church and, well, you weren't there, we missed you. Well, I just had too much going on. And you make that effort, like Kathy, to get out
heading,
with dragging an oxen and just,
yeah,
you know, behind you. It's like, what are we complaining about?
She's got a stone bolt hung to her. I want to draw attention back into Hebrews of something that, when I read this, and I've read it many times, I've read Hebrews 11 many, many, many times. But when you look at verse 33 in Hebrews 11, well, I'm going to back up to 32 because it's going to be the lead-in to this what I want to draw attention to. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who, verse 33, through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again. And it just keeps on going. But what I want to draw your attention to is through faith, all this was accomplished. So to give evidence of that, why don't we turn back into the Old Testament and look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Put your marker in. We're not done with Hebrews quite yet. 2 Samuel. Chapter 7. In chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, this is God's covenant with David. And as the Lord is talking to David, I'm going to pick up in verse number 12. 7, verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Now, listen to this promise to David. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever, ever. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so Nathan spoke to David. And then David said, he went in and sat before the Lord, and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of men, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake, and according to your own heart, you have done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. There is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem for himself as a people, to make for himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods? For you have made your people Israel, your very own people forever, and you, Lord God, have become their God. Boy, aren't you glad that salvation came to the Gentiles? And it's in the Old Testament. One other thing I'd like to look at that happened through faith. Elijah did a few silly things, but one thing he did very well, as the Lord called him, and it's on Mount Carmel, and it's in 1 Kings 18. Now, this is through faith. That's the parallel I'm trying to work in here. Through faith. Because we can also see what Elijah did after this, because his faith waffled. So in chapter 18, starting in verse 20, it's quite lengthy, but it's amazing. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bowls, and let them choose one bowl for themselves, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bowl, and lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. Then you call in the name of your little g gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one bowl for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." So they took the bowl which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, "O Baal, hear us." But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud. For he is a god, cry aloud, for he is a god, either he is meditating or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened." So they cried aloud, cut themselves as was their custom, with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out of them. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 sheaves of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood, and said, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Then he said, "Do it a second time." And they did it a second time. He said, "Do it a third time." And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. So, through faith, you notice those words, I tried to really lean on them a little bit. "Let it be known that this day that you are God in Israel, I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." And you're going to see, we could go a little farther here into chapter 19. We're going to see that Jezebel found out about it, and she was looking to snuff him out. So he ran, and he hid in a cave. And then the still, small voice said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? Come out of there. I have many who have not bent the knee to Baal. Come out of there. You're not the only one." So through faith, these things are done. So let's see. I want us to look into Romans chapter 10. Chapter 10. Now, let's back up to 9 first. Sorry. Let's look, 8. 8:37. Talking about God's everlasting love in this section, and this is the culmination. It says, yet in verse 37 in chapter 8, "Yet in all these things we are," there again we see "we," "more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's the faith that we have. The faith that is growing within you as you draw near to God and as we study the Word and as we share one to another and we join ourselves together to what? Glorify God. We are the pinnacle of creation, created to do that very thing. Now let's look at chapter 10. Starting in verse 14, 10:14. How then shall they call on him, capital H, in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. But have they not, I got so many lines in this, I can't hardly read it anymore. But have they not all obeyed the gospel? For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? For Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, who's that referring to? Excuse me, backing up that first prophecy of Isaiah when he says it's very bold in verse 20, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. Who's that?
The Gentiles.
It's us. What's us? But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Isaiah 65:2. So that's the culmination, I believe, for my lesson today. I mean, we could have spent a lot of time in Hebrews 11 and 12. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we have, our hope is where we have a song. All our hope is in Jesus. Thank God, my yesterday's gone. Aren't you glad your yesterday's gone? I am. Because I still remember some of my yesterdays. I can't believe at times how deep in the malarkey I was. And I'm just going to leave it at that. Because there's no... There's no one that is chosen that won't be redeemed. I read that somewhere. I'm done. It's not even seven, but I didn't want to keep you forever and ever and ever, especially on a beautiful windy night like tonight.
Let me read a verse.
Go ahead, would you please? Sure. Where you at?
I'm in 1 John chapter 5.
Oh, thank you. 1 John 5.
This might be a good place to wind it up here.
Okay.
In verse 4, because we have a song, an old hymn that we used to sing. I don't know if we've sung it in a long time around here or not, but anyway, it's in the hymnal. It is patterned. 1 John 5, verse 4.
Yep.
For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world.
Our faith. Thank you.
Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. If the world is a problem, and we've got people all the time in churches that are at the point of wrestling with what the world has been to them and meant to them, and their life's been tangled up in it and tied up in it and all that, and you say, how in the world can I start over? You can't start over except you are receiving the faith that he gives.
Amen.
And that's how it becomes our faith. That's why it says our faith there. It's talking about the faith that he gives
that
to
he
us.
That he imbued upon us, yes.
As free gift. But it's the kind of, it's faith that overcomes the world. It's how you start over again. It's how you reevaluate everything and start with a biblical worldview.
Anyone else? Got nothing to add? Okay. Father, we thank you that before the foundation of the earth, you knew each one of us. Before the foundation of the earth, you chose those whom you would build your church upon. Before the foundation of the earth, you've known it from the beginning and you know it to the end. We couldn't even begin to understand why it all had to come down like this. But it's not our job to be asking why. It's our job, I don't know whether the word to use, to glorify you, to be that servant worthy to worship the master. A bondservant was a slave. Doulos, is that not right? And though he was released from his slavery, a bondservant, because of love for the master, stays and serves the master just as he did before, because he loves the master with a great love. So, Father, help us to be those people called by your name, that humble themselves, that pray, that seek your face and repent of our wicked ways. You hear from heaven. We know you hear from heaven. And you hear our petitions, Lord. So, Father, I just pray for those who will believe, those who are the chosen, that are coming to fruition even this moment. Lord, may you be glorified, high and lifted up. As you are in heaven, so be it on earth. In Jesus' name I pray.